All right.
Please quiet down a little. We're going to get started with how to lose weight. I'm going to put your mic on. It is on.
It is on, yeah. Yep. You can hear me?
Please give a round of applause.
Yes. All right. Hello, everyone. I'm Aapo Alasuutari. I work at Valmet Automation, which is a Finnish national or global company. I'm there working on I'm the software architect and a programmer for a browser-based UI platform for running factories, basically. So if I make a mistake, then like millions burn in a day. It's fun. So I'm a TypeScript developer by day. I'm a choir singer. I'm an open source enthusiast and albatross. I'm a data-oriented design zealot, which you might see very soon. If you've not heard of data-oriented design, I'm not going to explain, but maybe you'll kind of get it anyway. And I'm developing the Nova JavaScript engine in my free time, written in Rust with data-oriented design principles in mind, which you will maybe also see a bit about here. So, losing weight. What do I mean by weight? First of all, whatever I mean, this is supposed to be like fun and like whimsical, but mostly I mean the amount of memory your program uses at runtime. That's what we usually think about. Though, remember, your code is also weight. It gets sent to the client, or even if you're in Node.js or something, it at least gets saved on the disk. Also, if you write horrible, horrible code, and you make your program so complex that nobody can understand that, that is also weight. The complexity of your program and the context knowledge required to work with it is also weight. And I posit that for any program, there exists an ideal weight. And this is kind of like a mix between the three kinds of weights there. You can take your own pick, like which one do you prefer? I'm more of the like, take out memory, increase the others, but not by too much. So I'm going to talk about losing weight as in approaching the ideal memory weight without ballooning the rest over much. Luckily, we can calculate the ideal memory weight. How many of you have heard of Shannon entropy? How many of you have heard of succinct data structures? I heard about them yesterday, and I was like, I've never heard of that. Oh, I know what those are, okay. Basically, Shannon entropy, which I will not explain, but it is this amount of surprisingness in your data. How surprising is your data? That is Shannon entropy. Or another way to say it is how many yes or no questions must be answered before the data is understood. For an example, you have a stream of bits where every 500 bits there is one non-zero value. So it's always zero except like one in 500 on average. I ask one question. Are the next 500 bits all zero? If the answer is yes, I have understood the data, and now we can also say that the amount of Shannon entropy in that data is roughly maybe one bit. So Shannon entropy gives you the amount of bits of information that your data holds, not the amount of memory that you use to hold it, just the amount of data there is, the amount of information there is in that. All right. Here are some JavaScript values, always the same size, regardless of what kind of data it holds, kind of on the stack anyway. So it's 4 bytes in Chrome and 8 bytes everywhere else, unless you're on a 32-bit machine, hopefully not anymore. And Booleans and small integers, or in some engines, all numbers, are already held in that 4 or 8 bytes directly. But then any object, any array, any symbol, so on and so forth, those also have data on the heap. And you can see those values taken from Node and Chrome there. Basically, it's always one header reference, and that header reference is now the size of a JavaScript value, because a JavaScript value is the size of a reference in the engine, plus then some data. Like a number is header reference, that's 4 or 8 bytes, plus 8 bytes of double data, so 16 bytes or 12 bytes. And as we go down here, you can see that an object is 24 or 12 bytes, Node or Chrome. But when you go to array buffer or uint8 array, they're 96 or 52 bytes and 104 or 60 bytes. Huge objects. And no, those are empty. You have no data, no information in those. It's just the object itself. Okay, so how to actually lose weight? Well, first, the previous talk mentioned oversharing. Don't overshare with your client. Remove the things you don't need. Like the things you don't need in the client that are never used, those should be removed. This is like obviously kind of dumb and simple, but yes, this does happen. I removed a lot of stuff recently. Second of all, get rid of Booleans. You what, mate? Booleans are really, really nice, really cool in many ways, very convenient, but it's 4 or 8 bytes to store one bit. One bit. That is, in like if you're in Chrome where the size of a value is small, smaller than elsewhere, that's 3% of memory used at all. 3%. Like, you have 64 gigabytes of RAM in your computer, and now I'm going to say, hey, you're allowed to use 4 gigabytes of it. How about? No, please no. So we want to get rid of Booleans where we can. We want to use context knowledge to get rid of stuff or optimize stuff down to smaller sizes where we can. And we want to be able to choose appropriate data sizes or storages for data whenever we can, based on context knowledge, based on the system that you're working with. You've been working on that program for like 10 years at this point, right? How many of you have been working for 10 years in the same thing? Yeah, I know you're there. You know exactly what kind of data there is in the system. You can use that context knowledge. And you want to get rid of the heap headers and actually objects, mostly or entirely, if you can at all. Now, this is starting to sound a bit weird, like, wait, JavaScript without objects? Like, what are you talking about? Struct of arrays is what I'm talking about. Yeah, this is the data-oriented design side here. If you go struct of arrays, i.e., you take your group of objects and you turn it into one object which has multiple arrays or typed arrays or maps sets, you can use context knowledge to store only the amount of data that you absolutely need. And you can get rid of Booleans. Okay, let's look at code. Now this will be fun. I will have to try and find how do I get my code editor back here. Where did you go, man? Where did I put you? Okay, I have lost my code editor. That's good, that's good. Now I need to go to losing weight. Oh, come on. This is, well, there we go. Now that's much better. I have way too many code examples here. And unfortunately, I'm going to pick the simplest one, which is not real code. I have an actual real example, but I wouldn't have the time to go through it. So I'm going to give you like a dumb, simple example of what array of structs to struct of arrays transforms means and what kind of things you can do here to optimize. So I have here an object, component object, some kind of like retained mode UI stuff. There's a type, so this component knows, like obviously there are many types of objects. This component apparently knows what type of object it is. There's an enabled Boolean, which somehow, I guess, takes the component out of the whole UI, maybe. Hovered, selected, is root, width, height, parent, children. Seems fairly standard. Like, we have a component pretty much like this. And then there's this scope name here. This is going to be fun, kind of. Two-part identifier, so a path, hierarchical path to a container, and then a unique name within that container. Remember that. As we see, there's parent and children. So this is a hierarchy of components, i.e. it's a group. somehow a group of components which form a larger set. This is not an array of objects right now, but we can still actually think of it as an array of objects. It's just, it's structured in this tree structure or hierarchy structure. And we can turn that into an array of structs. First, I'm going to get rid of some Booleans. Or actually, even before that, I'm going to get rid of something I don't need. Is root Boolean there? You didn't need it, did you? Your root, if your component is a root or not, is decided by it having a parent, right? Why did you have that Boolean there? You probably added it because it was convenient, right? Yes, yeah, I can check it like this. Nice. Yeah, let's get rid of that. But then, the enabled Boolean. That's one bit of information in each object costing you 4 or 8 bytes. It adds up. When you have thousands of these, it really adds up. So what we can do instead is that we split the enabled and disabled components from one another already at a higher level. We don't have any disabled components in the hierarchy at all. Obviously, maybe in your case, the components actually, they need to retain their position in the hierarchy, and they need to kind of know if they're enabled or disabled while they change that state. So maybe this split isn't possible for your case, but sometimes this is a possible split. You can move the disabled components over here, and now actually if you move them over there, you can probably get rid of a lot of their data, because like a disabled component which isn't in the UI probably is never hovered or selected, right? So you can get rid of them in those cases, and that just means that when you move your component over from being disabled to becoming enabled, you'll be copying data around. But I assume your components aren't constantly enabling and disabling, so maybe it makes sense. All right. And I've moved the components over to this component table, which is here. And it looks pretty much like the component looked, except now every single thing here is kind of an array of some sort. So this is not an object that exists for each component. This exists for each hierarchy of components. Each array there holds data for all the components. So that type there, it is now a flexible index array, i.e. just a uint8 or uint16 or uint32 array. And it is as long as you have components. Its length is the number of components you have. And now your component has an index. I am component index 4. Okay, I will look into the type list or type array at index 4, and I will find there, let's see, uint8 or uint16 or uint32 array. So I find another number there. That points to our data storage somewhere here. There, data parts. I have a list of unique strings, unique type strings. So all our components now, they don't actually know their type, they know their type index. And you can just go look up the actual type string here. And that list holds no extra data. It's a unique list, or a list of unique strings. Now, because probably your list of types is fairly small, maybe it's like 200, you are only using 1 byte of data, or maybe 2 bytes of data, to store your type per component. All right. Hovered, I'm making an assumption. Maybe your system is such that you don't have like hierarchical hovering type of thing. There is only ever one component that is hovered at a time. So why do we have that Boolean in every single component? We don't need it. We need one index. Which component is